Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much again for joining me as we're walking through a section of Colossians 1. If you weren't with us yesterday, we talked about how I was inspired to go back and read Colossians because we're doing it for our Bible study this summer for high school girls. And they wanted to do it because it focused so much on eternity. It focused so much on Christ. And there was just so much in it that was so convicting. And when I began to go back and reread it, because I've been reading bits and pieces, but I haven't read it through probably in the last year, like all the way through. And there were so many different parts that I was like, that's fire. That's so good. We could do that on the show. I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So we're starting with the supremacy of Christ. And friends, this, so much like Hebrews chapter 1, it's like a little soliloquy about Jesus. It's almost like poetry about his identity and who he is. And so often for me, I need to go back to these parts in scripture, not just like beautiful writings of the saints about Jesus, but back to these parts in scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 is like this. Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about Jesus humbling himself, becoming obedient to death. Here, Colossians 1, 15, the supremacy of Christ, to go back to and hear the word of God spoken into my heart about exactly who Jesus is. Not just what he's done for me, but what is his identity before the Father even sent him? What is the identity of the person of Jesus as fully God and fully man? And I think sometimes too, I don't know if you've ever experienced this of if you like worship music or singing. I often listen to a lot of worship music in the car just while I'm driving. And I go through different seasons. Like today, there was a song I was listening to that in a different season, I was like loving it. And it was all about kind of how I felt about God. You know, it was like, oh God, you love me, Jesus, you love me. And it came out and I wasn't really like vibing with it. Not in terms of like, oh, I wasn't feeling it. But I just like had this thing rise up in me of like, I want to talk about God. You know, I want to sing about God. I want to sing about Jesus, not just what I think about him or what I feel about him. And it's so good for us, friends, to go and to declare the truth, not just about ourselves, but about God, about who Jesus is, about what he's like, totally separate from me, totally separate from what he does for me. And so it's so good to do that. And so that's what we're doing. And that's what we began to do yesterday, as we began just with that one line of Jesus as the image of the invisible God, and this amazing reality that in all of history, God had shown up in different places. He'd shown up as a sign in the sky. He's shown up as the burning bush. He's shown up as the pillar of fire. He was in the Ark of the Covenant, all this kind of stuff. But now with Jesus, he's saying, I want to take another step in our relationship. I want to show you who I am. I want you to have an image. I want you to put a face to the name. And so I'm going to send my son with a face, with a body, with a name, with emotions. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. No one has seen God, but the Son has made him known. What an incredible passage. So let's go ahead and pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue to give us awe and wonder before the person of Jesus. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Wherever you're at right now, I just want to take a few just seconds of just silence. So I want you to pray, just come, Holy Spirit, and then we're just going to be as silent as we can. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and fix our eyes on Jesus. Even if we're doing something else right now, even if we have a million things on our plate, even if we're driving or getting ready for work or whatever we're doing while we're listening to this, in a way, just clear our hearts, clear the space in our hearts to be purified, to be able to see you, to look at you, to yearn for you, to long for you, but to see you clearly, not how we want to see you, but as you truly are. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's kind of funny. It feels funny to be like silent on air because you're like, wait, aren't I turning on the radio to listen to something? I was closing a prayer the other day. We were meeting with some girls at in a public place and at some picnic tables. And I was like, let's just be silent. And the minute we're silent, all of a sudden someone starts revving their engine. And like, you know, when people do rev their engine in that most obnoxious possible way in like a little car. And so it was like, of course. And I think sometimes that's how our brains and our hearts feel, of like when we start to get silent, like the engine of our hearts and our minds just revs up. And so I think if it's really good as we're reading these passages to take some time of silence around it to actually allow the Holy Spirit to speak. So let's go ahead and read. We're going to be in Colossians 1, 15 through 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen. So yesterday we got through the first half of the first sentence. He is the image of the invisible God. And then Paul says something really interesting. The firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created in heaven and on earth. What does he mean by the firstborn of all creation? So first, if we break that down, Paul's not saying he's the firstborn in terms of like he was like first created. He wasn't first created. He was the firstborn. It's interesting. If we look in the Old Testament, where do we see firstborn? In Exodus, Israel is called God's firstborn nation. In the Psalms, David is called God's firstborn, even though he was the youngest son. So this idea of firstborn in biblical language, it's like the heir or the one with supreme rank, the one who possesses authority and inheritance rights. So the idea is supremacy and preeminence, which we're going to talk about later because it says preeminent. And we see this in the fathers of the church. Christ is not called firstborn because of his relation to creation. He is not part of creation. He's begotten from the Father eternally versus made where creatures are made. All things were created through Christ. We see this also in John Chrysostom. John Chrysostom talks about that the firstborn refers to dignity, authority, and uniqueness. That he emphasized that Paul guards against this misunderstanding. Jesus, he stands above creation. He has this uniqueness in him. He's the firstborn of all creation, and creation flows from him, out of him. He's eternally begotten from the Father, not temporally created. And so I want to go back to that biblical language, the firstborn, the heir, Israel as the firstborn of all nations, David as that firstborn son, and then he's the firstborn of all creation. And so Jesus with the Father and the Holy Spirit, everything is created through him. We're going to talk about that soon here in the passage. But all things, lands, creatures, and then man ultimately is created through him. And so Adam, right, is the first man created. And so there's a way in which Adam was supposed to be the firstborn. He was supposed to be the head of all creation. But through the fall, what is God doing in salvation? He's not just resetting everything. He's not saying, oh, shoot, Adam, we just got to fix somewhere in the bloodline what Adam messed up. He creates a new bloodline. There is a new bloodline. There's a new race of people coming forth through Jesus. He's now the firstborn son of the new creation. That's why we see this. He's the new Adam. He is the new Adam. He is the first one. And John talks about this. He talks about this in John. He says, those who would receive him, they would become children of God, not who are born of flesh and blood. Not who are born from flesh and blood, but who are born anew by water and the Spirit. You know, Irenaeus, he talks about this. He says, the knot of Eve's disobedience was loosed by the obedience of Mary. For what the Virgin Eve had bound in unbelief, the Virgin Mary loosened by faith. And he continues on about Christ. He became what we are, that he might bring us to be even what he himself is. As through a disobedient virgin, man was stricken down and fell into death, so through the virgin who obeyed the word of God, man was revived. There's another by St. Justin Martyr. Christ became man by the virgin so that the disobedience caused by the serpent might be destroyed in the same manner in which it has originated. So we see the whole creation story. God creates man in his own image to be the head over all creation, to be that firstborn. But man disobeys God. But God, knowing that this would be the plan, he initiates a plan of recreation by the power of the Spirit in his Son. Not who is created, but who from all of eternity is begotten from the Father, the image of the invisible Father, born of the Virgin to start a new race, to be the firstborn son of a new creation, a new bloodline, a new race of people established in the Son. I love that again from Justin Martyr. Christ became man by the virgin so that the disobedience caused by the serpent might be destroyed in the same manner it had originated. It needs to be destroyed through the firstborn son who has supremacy. Augustine of Hippo says this: through Adam, death. Through Christ, life. The first Adam brought sin. The second Adam brought grace. Jesus is the image of the invisible Father, the image of the invisible God. He's born of Mary. He's born of the Virgin. And as the firstborn of all creation, now he's not created like Adam is, but he's God from God, light from light, who is fully God and becomes fully man. And he leads then the human race as a human man into the new creation through redemption. God initiates through his Son. He's saying, I'm sending now my Son as my image so people can see me. And now he's the firstborn of all creation in my Son. In my Son, I'm making a new race of people, not from flesh and blood, but for all who believe by faith and become a new man. Christ is making new men and new women. He is the firstborn who is uncreated, and in him we are created, we are recreated into a new race of people. Holy Spirit, reveal to us Jesus as the firstborn of all creation, both that he is uncreated, begotten from the Father, but that also he is leading us as the new Adam into eternity. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.